Colin, how you doing?
I'm doing okay, Johnny Mac. Good to be with you.
It's good to see you. It's been fun. I've actually seen your daughter a lot more this year than I've actually seen you covering the PGA Tour. You have to be very proud.
Well, she's a great girl. She's finishing up her last year in college and doing really well in school and, you know, getting on with her life.
How did we get this old?
I don't know, brother. It's one of those things that just makes you scratch your head, you know, and it's... You know, you sound like your granddad, you know, when he's telling you stupid stories about going to school in his bare feet and all that kind of deal. But it's that time of life. It's a natural course of things, and that's the way it is.
You seem to have taken to the Champions Tour like a duck to water. I mean, I see you inside with the guys. You're laughing. You're having a good time. You seem very relaxed. It really is a great mulligan.
It's an unbelievable It's unbelievable good fortune to be this age and play in a competitive environment like the Champions Tour. I wish we had another dozen or so tournaments because it's just, you know, I'm going to go home. I'm going to play golf anyway. I'm going to play with my dad or my son. I'd rather be out here making some cash. So, you know, feel very fortunate and blessed and hope it lasts for a long, long time.
How are you doing physically? I mean, you had some stuff going on.
I mean, nobody gets a free pass, you know. I mean, this is the time, and we all have little nicks and such, and everybody's got to cope with that. And I mean, you've been through it, I've been through it, everybody's been through it, and you just hope that your body holds up as long as possible. And you know, I played with Gil Morgan yesterday. He's 65 or 6 years old, and I'm looking at him going, "Golly, man, how do you do that?" And he said, "Well, you know, my wrist is bothering me, whatever." So have a little cheese with that wine, Doc. He's in such good shape, and you know, so you play with Hale Irwin. He's a physical freak. So we all wish for the best and prepare for the worst.
Well, you guys, I mean, I'm looking around the room. You're all the same size or smaller than you were when I came on tour in 95 or 96. And
all those boys are now 6'3", 6'4".
Yes.
And they're launching the ball. It's a whole different league out there. It's a different world. I mean, when I won Colonial, it was 8 under par. It was kind of in the window where everybody, you know, the score that everybody would shoot, they'd shoot 7 to 10, 9, 8, maybe an 11. All of a sudden, these guys, the evolution of the ball and the other technologies and guys are shooting 18, 19, 20 under par, winning these tournaments. It's just phenomenal.
You know, I was talking about it this past week, talking about the Vegas tournament. That's the tournament in 2001 when the Pro V1 came out, the thing that changed the world. Billy won that week, Billy Andrade, and he was hitting it literally 30 yards further that week than he was the week before. That's what changed it all.
Well, and kudos to Billy for being able to make that adjustment that quickly, because it's not just how much farther you hit it. It's, you got to be able to control your distance. People think that you just abuse a golf course with how far you hit it off the tee. That's not the case, because it's one thing to nail your ball off the tee. It's another thing to control your ball coming into the green. And if you're in a bunker or in the water or somewhere around the green, not on the green, then that's going to affect your score in a negative way. So, you know, there's been a big adjustment made. There's been an incredible technological revolution, and you don't want to disparage the guys who are playing now. I mean, you know, everybody says about how far they hit it and this and that and the other thing. The fact is that they've grown up with these toys, and they've learned how to use them, and they use them really efficiently, really effectively.
Well, you talk about that. Have you played with some of the young guys on tour, the guys that are doing well? I know you played with Ricky.
Played with Keegan Bradley and Bubba and those guys. I mean, it's a mind bender when you play with them. They're literally hitting it 80, 100 yards. I had a conversation with Dustin Johnson when he first came out. I said, "Man, how far you hit the ball?" He said, "I don't know." I go, "Yeah, you know, everybody knows how far. We all know how far we hit the ball." He says, "No, I really don't know." And I said, "All right, you got water between you and where you need to carry your tee shot. How far can you hit it?" He goes, "Maybe 320. I mean, really? 320? Give me a break. you know, it's a conversation stopper.
Yeah, I mean, what do you say? I mean, 320 in the air, and he does it, and he does it straight.
Well, that's the thing. You know, a lot of people criticize Dustin for his technique. You know, he's got that bowed left wrist at the top. But I think, in fact, that it's a really efficient way for a guy who generates that kind of speed, has that kind of an arc to deliver the ball. Because what he does is he shuts down his face, and then he holds it off. And it's his. If you watch his swing, his body is fully released and his club is still loaded. And then he has this incredible hand speed through the ball. Well, if you've got a wide open club face, that ball could go anywhere. But with a shut down club face, I mean, it's the reason that Lee Trevino controlled his ball so well. He had a shut club face at the top. Arnold Palmer had a shut club face. And it's not the club face so much as the position of your hand in relation to the club. And Dustin handles it really, really well.
You know, last week at the Ryder Cup, I was watching the guys and I was thinking, well, this guy reminds me a little bit of Lanny Watkins. This guy reminds me a little bit of Payne Stewart. And I say all that. And I didn't say it in the broadcast, but when I was thinking, what an incredible compliment to the kids that those comparisons could be made. Do you see those kind of comparisons across the generational lines?
Well, you know what? I think that everybody is measured against history. And this is what Tiger Woods is doing. And nobody ever talks about anybody else than Jack Nicklaus when they talk about Tiger Woods as it pertains to his performance on the golf course. So there's that element in every young player coming up, and you see it across all sports. You see the comparisons. Well, this guy reminds me of Daryl LeMonica, or this guy reminds me of George Bland, or this guy reminds me of Sonny Jurgensen, or whatever. I mean, I think that's a natural thing. I think we're in an evolutionary spot right now where what you're seeing in golf is unrelatable to the history of the game, because there's been such a quantum change in technique. There's so much better information. Guys are using video to build their golf swings. You see a lot more golf swings that look closer in style to one another than in the old days. I mean, there were very few guys that swung like Ben Hogan, and people would stop and watch him on the range. Nobody dared ask him how. They'd just watch and try and learn. But now there's information available where guys are building their golf swings. For example, you know, the old classic style swing where people drove their lower bodies and had a nice high finish, played hooks. And that was because why? The ball spun a lot, and we had to control the spin of the golf ball. You couldn't play in the wind if you hit a cut. Now these guys get on top of the ball, they trap it, and they hit that knuckle burner into the wind. It goes just as far. So there's because of the new golf balls and the new shaft composites and head composites, players are able to deliver with this tremendous arcs and tremendous speed a golf swing that's efficient under pressure and in a variety of conditions. So it's a much, much more consistent program.
How, for you guys out on the Champions Tour, how difficult is it to watch the video, watch all those things going on, and not say, well, I have to change this, 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 and this? How tempting is it to try to do a complete overhaul at, you know?
It's an interesting question, and a lot of guys do it. I did it in the early 2000s, mid-2000s, when I went to see Jim Hardy, and he helped me synthesize the information and get to
great
a place
work.
Where I need to be. Well, thank you. And it's such a hard thing to do to rebuild your golf swing. On the other hand, if you can do it, I think you could prolong your career. And I think a lot of guys have done that. I mean, I think the guys whose careers have lasted, Their swings are biomechanically sound, and I think that's the biggest component of the new golf swing, if you will, the modern golf swing, is that instead of sliding and putting a lot of torque on the lower body or on the lower back, you know, with the hip slide and hip rotation and the tilt, I think guys have built a golf swing that's more rotational, that's bodier friendly, if you will. Or body friendlier, if you will. And so you're seeing guys play well into their late 50s and early 60s. They're able to control their golf ball. They're able to manage their bodies so that they don't get injured as much. And so I just think it's the new information age. Everything's on computers and iPhones now and so forth. And I think the golf swing is at the same place.
I think so too. I think it's interesting. And, here's what I don't get. We go out and we watch Keegan Bradley. We go out and we watch Dustin Johnson. It's fun to watch, but it's not something we can relate to. And I'm going to ask you a question about the Champions Tour and how to grow it. Because to me, it seems like in terms of golf entertainment, it has the most potential for growth. How do we take the next step with it?
You know, it's an interesting question. It's something that we're struggling with. I think that the PGA Tour is obviously, it's one of the greatest shows in sports. You have individuals going out there on a daily basis and competing at the highest levels. And, you know, there's far too much criticism of the guys out there. Why don't they win? Why don't they dominate? What Tiger Woods did for 10 years is one of those kinds of things that you put in historical context and you say, man, how is somebody going to come up and repeat that? It's a generational thing. You know, I remember sitting around with the likes of Gardner Dickinson and Tony Penna and Jack Grout and people like that back in the early days of Frenchman's Creek, and we would talk about Jack Nicklaus and what he'd accomplished. And it was emphatic that nobody would ever challenge Jack's record. And, you know, here we are, and we're at the backside of our generation, But it is, you know, it's Jack was in the 60s and 70s, Tiger's in the late 90s and 2000s, and we do have the guy that has challenged Jack's record. And so I think to look forward and say that something can't be or won't be challenged is really a mistake. I think there's always somebody who, you know, pushes the envelope and changes the way we look at things. And there's that evolutionary guy that happens every so often. And Tiger Woods is the guy. So what he did to be the guy to challenge for the championship every single week, to be the guy that everybody looked to, you know, certainly caused him to leave his mark. As it pertains to your question, man, the Champions Tour is such a great environment. It is truly great to the game. It's the only sporting event where the Hall of Famers are currently active, and our fans can come out and watch us play, and the corporations can come out and we do great corporate entertaining and stuff. I think that what we need to do is tell the story a little bit better. You know, we need to tell the story about how great these guys and for how long they've been that great. And if we can do that and get that message across and get a little help from the muckamucks at PGA Tour, I think we'll be in good shape.
I think so, too. It's great to spend a few minutes with you.
Always good to be with you, buddy.